Romans chapter 8. We're going to read one verse this morning, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, familiar verse. I'll read through the first time aloud as you read through silently, and then we'll all read together the second time through in unison. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. As you're finding your place, would you please stand in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now let's read together, please. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Father, we do thank You for Your goodness to us. God, as we heard in testimony and song today, how good You are to us and how faithful You are to us. Now, Lord, we ask this morning that You would again work in our lives and our hearts by the preaching of the Word of God. Help it to be effective in our lives in such a way that it changes our lives today by what we heard, because we do what we heard. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we need Your Holy Spirit to anoint our pastor with Thy power this morning and to work in our lives as listeners today. God, please work mightily. And then, Father, I ask, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today they would settle it before they leave. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Being seated this morning, we need to give you the cell phone warning today, which is, make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. Now check that right now, please, would you, and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. If it goes off during the service, your seat is spring-loaded. And when it goes off and we hear it, you will be thrown into the air. So unless you want everybody to know who that is, you won't have to look around. Someone's phone goes off, you watch, they'll go popping up in the air in just a moment. So we really don't want that to happen, because you may land on the person next to you, and we don't want that to happen to them. So help us there, please. Romans 8:28. How many of you've heard that verse before? Romans 8:28. See, if you've been in the Bible very long, this is one of those John 3:16 kind of verses. The Christians just know this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And this morning, I want you to understand immediately, I have no intention of breaking any new ground of truth on this verse. Frankly, I don't think everything's been said about any verse in the Bible, but trust me, this is one of these verses that every Christian's going to use many times in their life. I found that Romans 8:28, though it looks different depending on where you are in your life and what you're going through at that time. So you're sitting there on the deck and you've just made barbecued hamburgers. Not the kind of hamburger where you get at the stores where you have to lift the lettuce to try and find the meat. One of those big, meaty hamburgers. Grilled to perfection. With cheese melted on top of it. And lettuce and red onion slices and red tomatoes. I like sweet pickle relish on mine, but you know, if you're unsaved, you probably don't. And then there's mayonnaise and mustard and a warm hamburger bun that you grilled slightly on the bun so it's nice and warm. And you put all that together with maybe some barbecue beans and some good potato salad and frosty cold Diet Coke to undo about your do yourself. And you look up on a beautiful day, as you take a bite of that hamburger, you say, all things work together for good to them that love God. But it's a little different when you're in a cemetery and you look down at a grave marker. Now listen, the verse hasn't changed. It's me. In that moment there on the deck, when the day was beautiful and the food was good and everything was wonderful, All things work together for good. It's true. And that day in the cemetery, when you look down at the grave marker and it's your granddaughter, and you think, all things work together for good. But it's different. I'm different. The verse is the same. How we interpret Romans 8:28 is very important to its application to our lives. Now look, it's not a shield you can hide behind. It's not a verse you can put up in front of something when things are not right in your life. Well, all things work together for good, you know. Pastor in the Midwest was preaching against the lottery in his church. And I mean, he was nailing that thing and telling people it's gambling, like when they cast lots for Jesus' garments at the foot of the cross. And he was just belaboring the point unbeknownst to him. That week, his wife had bought a lottery ticket. And lo and behold, Monday morning, after he developed his great sermon against the lottery, she hit a $10 million jackpot. I saw the interview. It was amazing. And they said, now wait a minute, preacher. You were just preaching against the lottery. Now your wife has won a $10 million jackpot. What do you say now? And you know what he said? All things work together for good. I think that's a misapplication just a little bit. Cast the check and he's in the Bahamas right now. But the truth is, you have to interpret this verse correctly for the application to be applied properly. So again, this morning, I do not intend to give you any new ground on this thing, but let's do this morning. Let's interpret Romans 8:28 correctly, shall we? All things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. How do you interpret Romans 8:28 correctly? Number one, we must have the right perspective. See the first words in that verse, and we know. That know is a confident know. That know is a certainty. Not just, well, we think so. We know. We know without a shadow of a doubt. We are certain, we are assured, we are confident, and we know. That's a matter of perspective. But how do we know this, people? How do we know that all things work together for good? All of it, the bitter and the sweet and the good and the bad, and the high mountaintops and those dark valleys, those long midnight hours. How do we know that? How do we know all things work together for good? A raise that we get at work, a promotion, God's blessing, a good report at the doctor instead of him telling you you're fat and you need to lose weight, that kind of stuff. How do we know this all works together for good? How do we know it's good when you hang up the phone and your heart is broken and the news you've just heard destroyed your life and tore everything up? How do you know all things work together? How do we know this with the certainty of we know? Because of the God that's behind this verse. Look in your Bibles now, Romans 8. Now follow this. Look at verse 31. And what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or person, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, at his risen, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughters. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's how we know. We know because God's behind Romans 8:28. Nothing's changed, friend. Look at me. Nothing's changed in your life. Whether it's the blessing or the trouble, whether it's the goodness or the difficulty, whether it's joy or sadness, it doesn't make any difference. The circumstances of life didn't change Romans 8:28 because God has not changed. All things work together for good because we know the God who's behind that verse. And if God be for us, who can be against us? If you're going through something really difficult in your life, nothing's changed about Romans 8:28. All things work together for good because God's behind that verse. And it's a matter of our perspective. See, you have to have the right perspective, and we know. And we know. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, I mean, I got some terrible news, and we know. But Pastor Johnson, I lost my job, and we know. See, it's a perspective issue here. Romans 8:28 didn't change because life changed. God's behind the verse and God never changes. And we know that all things work together for good. You know how else we know? Because of our own experience in things. Now, this is secondary to number one. God is behind the verse. That's how we know. But number two, if you think about a child of God, in your life and your journey of faith in your life, haven't you found out that if you give God time, He really does work things out? Now listen to me. It doesn't mean it turns out the way you want. We'll talk about the good in just a moment. But it does. There are things that came out of it that you never saw at the moment. But after a while, oh, okay. Now I understand. You see, our experience will help to teach us and remind us that we know that all things work together for good. Sometimes things happen in life and we think, now, there can be nothing good that comes out of this. If you've been with God for very long in your life, you know you give God time. He'll make something come out of this. There will be something good come out of it. Some way, somehow, some means, some manner. It may not necessarily be good to me, but it'll be good if we see it properly. Our experience will have taught us that. By the way, we know also because of the experience of others. Why do you think God put these people's lives in the Bible? The things that they saw and experienced in their life, why do you think He did that? Why do you think there's the record of these individuals or sometimes an entire nation of people? Why do you think God put that stuff in the Bible? It's not only to instruct us about spiritual matters, but it's to teach us that through what we see them go through in their life. Good did come out of the bad things they experienced. Everything they experienced, there was some good in that. We see that in their life, and we read it in the Bible, and then when it comes to us, we think, well, I don't know how anything good could possibly come out of this. You mean worse than what happened to Job? Or worse than what happened to Joseph in Genesis, sold by his brothers into slavery, and 20 years of his life wiped out. Does that look like a good thing in Joseph's life? Not for about 17 years. But when he goes to the second man in the power and land of Egypt, and he's able to spare his family's life, doesn't Joseph say, Now I know. See, it came. Didn't it come for Joseph, dear people? It does. It's that way. We know because God's behind this verse. We know because God has taught us in our own lives that this thing will work together for good somehow. Some way, sometime, some means, some manner. You know, what good could come out of the death of 70 million people? What good, and not just death, martyrdom. Starved, slaved, slaughtered, tortured. Children with their guts ripped out in front of their parents because of this. I'm talking about our Baptist forefathers and mothers who gave their lives for our faith. What good could possibly come of that? What good could possibly come out of people being slaughtered for what they believe? I mean, how is that good, Pastor Johnson? You know how good it is? Look at that book that's in your hand this morning. You wouldn't have that if they didn't. The blood of that book has been watered by the blood of martyrs. You wouldn't have a faith to believe and a church to go to if somebody didn't pay the ultimate price for what you believe. So don't tell me something good doesn't come out of bad stuff that happens to people. Don't you see? We know. It's a perspective thing. And we have to remember that when things come to our lives. And by the way, you know, it's interesting to me. It's very rare that people ever have something good happen and they go, well, I don't know how good this could be. I got a raise, but I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. What's God doing to me? I don't find me a job. I got a job. How good can that be? Well, it depends on who you're working for, I suppose. But the truth of the matter is, no good does come of that. Now, so you say, Pastor, I get it. Okay. So if we give God time, He'll see to it that things work out for good. That's true. But may I say this morning? Real faith is believing it before God has to work everything out. Because that's real faith. We'll take the time this morning. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Abraham offering Isaac, how he waited all those years for his only son, and God gave him a son. And then when he has this son, Isaac, Isaac's about 30 years of age, he tells him, take your son Isaac up to the top of Mount Moriah and make a human sacrifice out of him. This is his only son. Only son of promise. And Abraham walks to the top of Moriah and puts wood on his son's back, carries a knife and fire in his hand. They build an altar. He ties his son's hand. Isaac's 30. Abraham's 120 some odd years old at the time. And Isaac has to no doubt crawl up and lay there on the... He knows, Isaac knows he's to be sacrificed. And Abraham knows he's to take his life. That means plunge a knife into his son's throat and set his body on fire and make a human sacrifice out of the only promised son he had. And at 120 some odd years of age, he's probably not going to have many more. This is it. And now he has to take the life of the son God promised him. And everything promised Abraham and his descendants goes to that man right there on that altar. And he has to kill him and set his body on fire. I'll read you the verse. Listen to this statement. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Listen to this verse. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. Do you understand what that means? That means Abraham stood there with that knife over his son's throat, knowing in his heart and believing Romans 8:28 before it took place. Somehow, some way, he's thinking, I'm going to kill my son, but God is going to raise him from the dead. Because I can't just have a son, I have to have that son. And if God said it's so, it's so. So if I kill him, God will even raise him from the fires of sacrifice. He'll give me back my son. That's why he stood over him with that knife. It wasn't just him thinking, I don't know about all this. He's saying, I don't know how it's going to work out. But somehow or another, all things work together for good. Because God made a promise. And God doesn't make promises. And God does not keep them. And he promised me this son, that boy, Isaac, God would give me seed through that son. And if I kill him because God told me to, God will raise him up. That's Romans 8:28 the right way. Before it happened. Before we approach things and we don't stand there in the shadow of doubt and say, well, I know all things work together for good, but I can't see that. If you don't believe this Romans 8:28 thing and you don't get your perspective right about God and His promises and what God does and the way He works things out, when it happens, you're going to stand in a lawful dark place in your life. But if you believe it before it happens. And so when it comes up, it's just a matter of I don't know how, but I know all things work together for good. There are things that happened to me as a child and you too. We didn't understand at the time. Later on, we began to see a picture of what this was all about in our lives. That didn't help us when we were children, did it? With doubts and wonders and concerns and fears and worries, it doesn't help us as adults either. You want to interpret Romans 8:28 correctly, you have to have the right perspective. To interpret Romans 8:28 correctly, we must see the right prospects. It says, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Now, it takes all things. All of them. Not just some, not just the good stuff that God makes good. God says, I'll make the bad stuff with the good stuff and the hard things with the easy things and the pleasant things with the bitter things. I'll take all those things and I'll put them together and something good will come out of that. We have to have this right prospect of things. Not all good things, but all things working together, the Bible says. All of them. The death of a loved one. I mean, come on, how good can that be? How good can the death of a loved one? How can something good possibly come out of something with such sorrow attached to it? Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, I'm sure somewhere, some way along the way, something will come out of that. I guarantee you this. God's definition for good is different than ours. It's good by His prospects and His perspective, not mine. I just have to know God to work this out. How God can make the good come out of all this stuff is beyond my wildest comprehension sometimes. And I think, boy, there's nothing good can come of that. That's Mike Johnson. Listen to this statement. What is good in time is not always good at the time. It takes all things to work together for good to come. That's good. Listen now. That's good by God's design. Listen, good in God's timing. Good in God's purpose. Good by God's definition. What does that word good mean, Pastor Johnson? Here's what it means. Good. That's what it means. Something right, something good, something positive, something of worth. But how could it be like that for everything that's ever happened to me in my life? Now listen here. You're getting on the wrong side of Romans 8:28. We haven't got to our part yet. We'll get there in a moment. Your part and my part is not this part. This is God's part. Remember the God that's behind Romans 8:28? That's still under all things work together for good. That's still under God's part, not mine. In His way of timing, in His way of doing things, how could there possibly be some good out of the stuff that happens in life? You mean to tell me everything that happens in life, God can make it turn out to good? I didn't say that. I said we know all things work together for good. God's people, God's children, we can know how this works if we just let God be God in this. Can you accept that? Can you accept that in God's design, in God's plan, in God's way? See, listen to me now. That's where we get ourselves in trouble, Romans 8:28. We get on God's side of that verse. And then we try to make it work out for good. We're gonna get our little hands involved here. We're going to make our little plans, and we're going to interfere with what God designs and desires. We're going to get involved with this thing, and we're going to make it work out the way we think it's supposed to go. That's not good, friend. Most of the time, that's bad. How many of you know what an Edsel is? An Edsel. You just dated yourself. Henry Ford had a son named Edsel. And he designed a car and named it after his son. Today, it is synonymous with Benedict Arnold and every other name you could think of. It just didn't go anywhere. It was not a well-received card and not very well-liked. And I'm sorry if you're the chairman of Edsel's of America and you're in church this morning. Okay, I'm not ripping on Edsel's, though I do have fun with Ford's on occasion. The truth of the matter is, it didn't seem like such a good idea to Henry Ford. And so he thought, you know, what greater honor can you give your son than build a car and name it after him? How would you like to be Edsel the rest of your life, knowing nobody wanted to buy a car named after you? And now it's synonymous. I'm the great-grandson of Edsel Ford. Oh, you mean that stupid car nobody wanted? How would you like to live with that for the rest of your life? What's good in time is not always good at the time, but trust me, we have to have the right prospects of things. We have to come with the perspective. God knows what He's doing, and we have to understand God can actually make all things work together for good. What I'm very glad to announce this morning is this. That's God's part, not mine. Oh, Mike Johnson has tried his part. Oh, believe me. I've tried to make good come out of things before. Single men, when you're a single guy and you're living on your own, you go to the refrigerator and you're hungry and you're too lazy to cook anything and you don't want to go anywhere. There's stuff that's been in there for a long time. And you pull the lid off of it and you look at it and it's green. And you're thinking it's really, really old meat or really new cheese, one or the other. So you come up with this brilliant idea. If I nuke it real good and put chili on it, I'll know in about an hour if it was a good decision or not. This guy's sitting out there right now going, I didn't think about the chili. I just nuked it. I should have tried the chili. Yeah. Certain things can just look good at the time, but not necessarily. No, that's God's program. You know how you interpret Romans 8:28 correctly? Right perspective, right prospect. Look at that verse. You have to have the right participation. Now, here's our side of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Here's our part. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's our participation in that verse. Not the first half, the second half. Not that part that where God, we know because of God, but we know that He, the God of heaven, can make it all work. That's all God's stuff now. Now, your part and my part is to do this. And you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There is nothing that can limit Romans 8:28 but you. It's all that limits it. Not God. It's not like God is in heaven and goes, oops, I made a big mistake. That's not God. He's not the government. He doesn't make mistakes and then cover it up with billions of dollars. He doesn't do that sort of thing. It's not the way it works. God doesn't do that. God's part always works. That's why we know that all things work, because God's in this thing. But if there's any limitation to Romans 8:28, it's in my participation in this verse, and my part is to love God and live in His purpose. We expect God to, listen to me, we expect God to work all things together for good while we live our own life and do our own thing. No, you just cut Romans 8:28 off for you. See, here's what we like to do. We like to take Romans 8:28 and apply it to a $10 million lotto prize when we believed it was wrong until we won it, and now it's right. It's not how it works. Hear me. We're going to embrace sin, hold on to sin, and do something that's wicked with our lives and deliberately violate the Word of God and expect to apply Romans 8:28 to that. It doesn't work that way. Then people get mad. Well, he said all things work together for good. How come it didn't work out for me? Because you didn't love God and live in His purpose. You lived for your purpose and you loved what you wanted and you didn't do what He said. So consequently, Romans 8:28 didn't work. Then here we get, I mean, God, isn't it amazing to you how God gets lambasted and blamed for things that we refuse to do right with our own lives? Now hear me. This verse will work. You just have to do your part. You say, well, that's not fair. I mean, He should just make it all work together for good. So then God would be a part of your sin, and God would be a part of justifying the wrong in your life. Well, He doesn't do that. And it would encourage others to do more wickedness with their lives. How many more young people in their 40s have to drop dead from drug abuse and everything else to teach people that's a stupid way to choose your life? There's a reason that stuff happens to people, to teach them you don't mess with this. Otherwise, everything works together for good, even if you're wicked. No, it doesn't work like that. But beside the wicked part of it this morning, please listen to me. If you decide you're going to just live your life, not a wicked life now. I mean, a moral, decent person who does what they should do and they pay the bills and they do the do's and don't the don'ts. And, you know, you're not a bad person, but you're not going to live for God's purpose for your life. You're not going to love Him like you should. Then don't expect everything to work out for good because it doesn't work. We're frustrating Romans 8:28. We're frustrating the gods of heaven. The God of heaven. Listen, Psalm chapter 78, God told His own people, Israel, He said, you limit the Holy One of Israel. They did because they wouldn't do what God told them to do. They literally handcuffed the God of heaven. You see, I'm thankful for Romans 8:28 this morning because not only do I know the God of heaven is behind it, my own life has taught me that and the experience of others teaches me that. And I know that the God of heaven is so amazing. He can make all things work together for good. That's incredible to me. But I'm also thankful for this because He left me two simple parts to participate in. Christian, look at me. How difficult is it for you just to love God? How hard is that? Is that like really hard? Is that just, He's asking you something that's just beyond the scope of your personal experience? To them that love God, that's all He's asking you today. If you'll just love me, I'll make sure everything works together for good. Well, who wouldn't love the God that saved them? Who wouldn't love the God that sent Jesus to this earth to die for them, to pay for their sins, to give them salvation, redemption, forgiveness, heaven, save us from hell? Who couldn't love Him? Who loves us unconditionally? I mean, it's a no-brainer to me. To them who are the called according to His purpose, it means to live in His purpose. To say, well, that one, Pastor, that's a little tougher. Tougher in respect of what? In the respect of the fact that I've lived in my own purpose long enough to know I haven't got it figured out and God does? I mean, how tough is this? I don't trust GPS. I don't. The box that tells you where to go and what to do. I don't trust that. You know why? Because I'm a man. And men hate asking for and taking directions from anybody. Years ago when we first got married, my wife would say, honey, you're driving a little too fast. My statement was, sweetheart, don't tell me how to drive and I won't take a wife beating and we'll be fine. And we resolved that ever since. I'm just kidding, honey. Anyway, don't much care for directions. I know where I'm going. I can see where the sun's at. There's west. So we're going north. That means I'm going that way. Because too many times the stupid boxes took me all over the earth to get across the street. I understand that. But we're talking about, listen to me, we're talking about taking guidance from the God of heaven who sees everything in one panoramic scope, can actually look down and see how you fit into His great purpose for mankind for eternity and knows how to put you where you're supposed to be, lead you where you're supposed to go, and help you to do what you're supposed to do. Living in His purpose is simply following what the Bible says and doing it. So I'm limiting God because I don't love Him, and I'm limiting God because I just won't obey Him in some area of my life. I'm tying the hands of the God who can make all things work together for good. Participate in Romans 8:28. Just don't get on God's side. Just participate. Trust Him to know that the God of heaven, He'll make it all work together for good. If I love God, you know why loving God is so important? There's no limit to what you'll do if you love somebody. There's no limit. Why do you think they're out there today? Serving their country on foreign shores. Why do you think they leave their homes and their families? I'm not saying everybody in the military loves America and loves their nation. But I've met so many loyal, faithful patriots. It blesses me. Because they love what you and I have more than they love getting what they want. One of our own young men will be in Afghanistan on Tuesday. He's leaving Tuesday to go to Afghanistan. See, love has no limit. Love has no toleration level where you get to the point where you say, I'm just going to put up with that anymore. No, not if you love somebody. And if you love God, all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. You know why that's important in life? Because living according to His purpose is me doing my part to be used for His good. Not somebody else's. We live for other people's pleasure and approval, and then we wonder why they can't make our life turn out right. It's your fault for trusting them with that. It's your fault for putting that kind of dependence on people. I live in His purpose. Somehow, some way, God will make this work. And we know. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Do you have a right interpretation of Romans 8:28? If you don't, you can't apply it correctly. It'll never make sense to you. And you'll stand in the dark shadows of your life and think, there is no way good could come of this. Or you'll stand and say, but we know. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, please.